Meeting of the City Council, the City of Palmer to order on Tuesday, October 25th. It is 6:00. Madam Clerk, would you read the roll?
Yes. Councilmember Pete LaFrance.
Here.
Councilmember Brad Hansen. Councilmember David Fuller.
Here.
Councilmember Steve Carrington.
Here.
Councilmember Richard Best.
Here.
Deputy Mayor Linda Combs.
Here.
Mayor Edna DeVries.
Here.
All members present.
Thank you. If you'll stand, and Councilman Best, would you lead us in the pledge, please?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
The next item on our agenda is audience participation. Is there anyone in the audience that would like to come forth and do some participating? Yes. The green-haired man is here.
Well, thank you for this opportunity. I'm actually going to go up to Palmer High School where there's a volleyball game in a moment, and Lamar Anderson will be in to make sure that all of these words are heard throughout the area. But yes, I do have green hair. And this may be, I defer to others who have experience with this, but this may be the most expensive hair coloration that's ever been done in the City of Palmer.
Okay.
As it's worth about $1,500.
Oh, good.
And so it's part of a fundraiser that allows the community radio station to do what it does. I agreed to, at the suggestion of my wife, to have my hair colored green so that I could truly represent Big Cabbage Radio as a cabbage head. So just so you're not worried about, you know, any, yeah. Okay, that's
or you,
it.
Or you betraying us to calling me because right. It's green rather than blue, right?
Right. You'll notice I am wearing a blue coat. And.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay. Well, we just have to look a little lower there on your shoulders. Okay.
Thank you.
Anyone else would like to come forth? I don't know if you can top that or not, but you're welcome to come. Seeing and hearing no one, we'll close the audience participation. Do I have a motion from the council to go into the committee of the whole?
So moved.
Councilman Best moved.
Second.
And Councilman Fuller seconded. Is there any objections to the council going into a committee on the whole? Okay, if not, then we are now in the committee on the whole. Okay, and we're ready for you, sir.
Good evening, Mayor, council members. Tonight, the paper has all been passed out, so I got no excuse for delay other than to kick in right now. You should have received two pieces. One is a spreadsheet with police vehicles, and the other was another sheet that shows the fire contract for Greater Palmer Fire Service Area in the borough. And then there's also a correction to the book on pages 47 and 48. We've noticed some typos earlier in the week, so that's also should be on your table if you didn't get it earlier this week. So tonight, I'd like to start with where we stand on the potential surplus in the general fund. With the overestimate in healthcare costs increase, the increase wasn't as high as we expected. It was 2.4 versus 10%. So that will be a surplus after a recommended amendment, and it would bring our total surplus to 177,204. Because this is spread across all the departments, really, it'll be a complicated amendment as it affects several accounting lines. So we'll have that recommended amendment language ready for a future meeting. The only recommended change I'm tracking so far from last week was to move the equipment amount of $7,500 from the airport to Public Works, and we will have that recommended language change ready for the night when we discuss Public Works, which will be next week. And tonight, we present the police department and the fire department proposed budgets. If we don't get through them both, fire will be continued at the next special session, which is November 1st. So if there are no questions remaining from last time or that have cropped up since the last presentation, I'll move on to the police department budget proposal that begins on page 47. So there is a corrected page, which should have a revised date at the top of 10/24/16 in red. The typographical error is on page 48, but that doesn't change the total numbers, and so it won't require a budget amendment to fix that, and those changes should be reflected in red. Starting on page 47, page 46 or page 45 is the organizational chart, and there are some changes there, but the changes are under dispatch. And when we talk about dispatch, we can refer back to that page as we talk about the dispatch changes. So overall, the police department across the board was down 126,226. 90,000 of that was for vehicle replacement that we did last year, but I recommend that we put 90,000 in capital equipment for this year. So across the board, if you accept the budget proposal as is, it's really $36,000 less than last year. Starting with salaries, we're down about almost $19,000 from salaries, benefits, and part-time. And it's really primarily due to senior folks retiring. So we've got some, it really over time adjusts itself back down, and then it'll creep back up over time as folks have seniority and with merit increases and things like that. Our regular overtime, no change to that from last year. Employees cashing out leave, so the personnel leave expense, we've recommended pushing that up 5,000 again because we're taking a closer look at how that affects our budget, and our proposal is that we have 75,000 there as opposed to 70 in the past, just to cover on leave cash out, so we don't have to do the budget amendment later on in the year. Uniform allowance remains the same as well as advertising. Our subscriptions and dues have gone up, recommended to go up $200. Travel expenses up $3,000. There's a couple of courses we'd like to get our folks certified on. Training up another $500. Legal fees flat. Court system admin fees again flat. Our services $25,000. There's no change from previous years, as well as our telephone bill. Our fuel costs, as I mentioned, for the airport and across the board for a lot of our departments has gone down because we budgeted for higher fuel costs. We expect the fuel to stay relatively flat to what it is this year. So we feel safe bringing that down by about 15,000. You'll see that in some of our other departments, Public Works and in the fire department as well. Insurance, both vehicle and insurance have gone up because the cost of insurance has gone up. So you'll see that in all our other budget lines as well. Office supplies, flat. Vehicle supplies, that's moved from a previous account to this account. So it's up 1,000, but really compared to last year, it's the same when you look at vehicle maintenance. Our uniforms are up 2,000, from 8,000 to 10,000, primarily because we've got some new guys on, want to make sure they have the equipment they need as they continue to come on board, and also that we're at full force compared to where we were last year. Operating supplies down 1,000. Small tools and equipment up about 1,500 compared to last year. Again, just to cover some of it's for the reserve program, some of it's because we have new officers and will require additional equipment compared to years past. Yeah, the biggest difference is the equipment line, 6053. You see it's down 88,000. As I discussed that earlier, that was for the police cars. I recommend we put that in capital instead of the operating budget. Office equipment down 15,000. That's primarily to a lot of computer upgrades that we did in the police department last year that we won't have to do again this year. Postage remains the same. Increasing our community planning up 500. Just we want to continue to outreach, increase the community outreach. And then our SART program up another 500. And then our scholarships remain flat. So for the general police admin budget, again, down about $36,000 compared to last year when you take out the vehicles that I request in later in the budget for capital to be done somewhere else. Any questions on that particular portion of the police department budget?
Councilman Combs.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. The START donation is static, am I correct? You said it was up 500, but it's been 2,500 and it'll stay that way.
That's correct.
Okay.
That was one of the adjustments. I didn't catch it in my notes.
I heard that you did, and I wanted to thank you for that. It's one of the questions I had since I
Yeah, the corrected version shows what it should be. So it's no, it's flat. It's $2,500 all along.
Okay, thank you very much for that.
Any other further council comments, questions, thoughts? Okay, go ahead and proceed, sir.
So on page 51, another... in terms of significance, it's down $9,000 for animal control, and that's because the borough has cut back on its contractual services. That remains to be seen if that remains where it is, but in the borough 2017 budget, it was $11,000, so that's what we budgeted for as well. When we look at the Alaska State Troopers building, it remains flat. It does go up by a couple of dollars, and that's in the insurance, but everything else remains flat. We compare our expenditures to the lease. Our lease is about $43,000, and our expenditures are $20,000. But we still use that lease money for the building elsewhere. When you see our police building expenditures at $58,000, that's where we're still maintaining the building. The troopers lease looks like it's a big benefit, but it's not really. In grand scheme, we're pretty much breaking even with that and maybe even losing money. But it's good to have the troopers in Palmer, so I don't see that as being an issue unless they ask us to cut back even more, which I don't think we will. When you turn over to the jail, again, it's a wash. $5,500 was what it was to last year. The lease is about $1,600. Again, building expenditures sucks up most of that for the police building. When you look at our police building, insurance up a couple of dollars, but the rest of the expenditures remain flat to 2016. At this point, if there's no questions, we can recommend that we go through the grants and then come back to dispatch and talk about dispatch last, because I think we'll may have more discussion about dispatch.
Any objections from council?
No. So the next page I would be looking at is page 137, which is the drug seizure fund. And then 139, which is a little more detailed on that fund. So we're not proposing any expenditures for that fund. Similar to this past year, we didn't budget an amount, but when the opportunity came up to purchase computers for our police cars, instead of using our operating budget, we used this drug seizure fund to purchase those computers. So the intent is the same way, not to budget anything, but if something comes up that may fit the requirements of this fund, then we would look to use this to save operating costs. Fund 52, and Chief, if I speak out of turn or make sure you shake your head, yes or no. Yeah. Fund 52, which is on page 143, which is police grants fund. We've proposed nothing for expenditures there. But again, that's a lot dependent on if we do receive grants for DUI or anything along those lines. If we receive those funds, then we'll budget for it. But at this point, we're not budgeting anything against Fund 52 either. Fund 53, narcotics budget, which is the last page of the special funds for the police department. Again, nothing budgeted. So we're not looking to spend any of that money either, although there's nothing really there for us to spend at this point. Any other questions on the funds? I'll move back to dispatch, where I think most of our time will be spent. At least that's my best guess on how tonight will pan out.
Any objections from the council regarding moving back to dispatch? Okay, go ahead, sir.
So dispatch starts on page 54, and then if you look at page 46 real quick, some of this may help to make sense on the personnel piece. So this budget for dispatch was built on a termination of 31 December. And having finished transition about the same time, that may or may not be the case. It's looking more and more like it will continue beyond January 1st. most likely with a 12-month contract. We still haven't received anything from the borough, but that's what my discussions with the manager and the mayor of Wasilla on what transition might look like and how we should be, you know, positioned. Still haven't seen anything from the borough as far as a contract, but that's the direction I heard they're going to go. However, based on what we know now, 31 December is our last day, so planning for the worst. Once we finish transition, depending on how many employees we still have left, we would have to pursue terminating a certain number of dispatchers. We'd want to keep, for continuous operations, our goal is to provide dispatch for the City of Palmer, Palmer Fire Department, and the Greater Palmer Fire Service area so that we're dispatching our own people. We talk about dispatching the Greater Palmer Fire Service area. We're dispatching people and equipment, but the dispatch piece, really, we want to make sure we're taking care of our people when we send them into harm's way. So that's our philosophy, and that was our intent on the transition from what we are today into the future. So in order to do that, we think the number is six. So we built the budget around having a sustainable number of six. But to get there, we'd have to have a transition period where folks would have to, we'd allow folks to find new jobs, still maintain their jobs at dispatch while they do that for a period of up to 90 days, depending on how the transition goes with MATCOM or the future dispatcher. So the budget is really built for nine people from January through March, and then six people from April 1st until the end of the year. So it's not a straight six starting in January. So as we look to 2018, if we don't have any other sources of revenue, six would be what we would transition to for the long term, and I believe that's sustainable. Now, there are other sources of income that we can pursue. One of those is to be some form of backup for Wasilla, and we are having some of those discussions, but we don't know what that might look like. The other is potentially Greater Palmer Fire Service contributing towards dispatch because we won't be dispatching fire from our area. So this early discussions with the Greater Palmer Fire Service Board, they are amenable to that. Actually, I don't want to say that that's their desire, but I think that is their desire, is that we continue to dispatch them. Of course, that'll require approval from the board and then from the borough, but I don't think it's going to be an issue with the board. So that would allow us to either keep more on hand to alleviate some overtime or on-call positions, but that's still a work in progress. So the budget is built on nine until March, and then six following that. So when you go to page 54, that shows the annual breakdown of how we've calculated what those numbers mean to us. We still will get the E911 $90,000 from the borough for maintaining the call taking. So that will still continue, but the $863,000 revenue for the contract will not. So when you look at the annual salaries, compared to last year, is down $436,000. Next year, it'll decrease even a little bit more than that, probably by about $87,000. When we go into 2018, we look at 2018, what that'll look like. Our on-call salaries, that's $12,000. That's pretty much what we budgeted this year. I anticipate, just because the on-call piece doesn't significantly change, we'll need to maintain that. Our regular overtime, of course, will go down because we'll go from 12 to 9 to 6. Our leave expense, because we're keeping our most senior folks, that's how our termination works. We don't expect that to go down at all. Our advertising won't change. Our training, just because of the cost of training, maintaining the folks we have, we anticipate bumping that up another 800. But we're really looking at 2017 as a transition year. So if we don't, again, it's the unknown on how many people we have, what we'll have to bring in new. Again, this is kind of being very conservative on, I don't want to slash it too much our first year as we transition, but keeping an eye on costs as well as we go forward. So training is flat. Our contractual services, that's with the absent service. Our summer recorder maintenance and our copier contracts, those remain the same just because we have to still maintain the facility and the services we provide. Telephone, it could potentially go down based on the number of calls, but again, not knowing what that would look like, we're maintaining that. Our power costs were flat because we're still in the same building. Water and sewer, again, shouldn't go down much. Our insurance, again, is affected by our overall insurance plan, so that's gone up. Office supplies and uniforms are flat. Operating supplies, we estimate that will go down just because the number of folks that are in that building going down. Our maintenance, because we won't have to maintain as many systems, will go down. And then office equipment will go down as well. So when we look at 2017 for dispatch, it's a transition year. That's how we're looking at it. It may turn out that it's not. So this is the proposed sustainable, we think is sustainable in the future, and that's kind of what we're looking at overall for the dispatch center. I'm sure there's lots of questions on this piece.
City Council have questions regarding dispatch, how we arrived at the figures, or? Okay, I have a question, sir. Would you go over insurance, the account number is 6037, and why we're going up almost 4,000, well, I guess maybe not, $3,500, $3,000. If that is health insurance and we are reducing the number of dispatch, is that health insurance or is that another kind of insurance?
That's our other insurance, not health insurance.
Okay.
It's the liability equipment, things like that.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Questions from the council? Councilman Hansen? Oh, I'm sorry, Councilman
Actually,
Best.
Well, it still begs the question, what's the increase for?
Our insurance increased across the board, so it's the spread based on the equipment they have, the performance of duties that they have, liability that comes out of that operation. Again, it's across the board based on how much equipment each department has. There's some electronics in there that are on our asset list. See if anybody else had any further description, but they don't have vehicles, so there's no vehicle insurance to go up, but had that been there, there'd be it as well. But it's based on the spread, the calculation we have on how much each department has to kick in for our overall insurance based on what their operation looks like and what equipment they have.
Sir, do we have a figure of how much overall our insurance then is going up for citywide?
I can get that. It was based on our contract that we just signed not too long ago.
I guess I'd like to see that. I know it's spread throughout the departments,
yep.
But if we could have a summary from all the departments, I would appreciate that. Any other questions?
Yeah, I have a question.
Okay. I want to get to it first. All right. We'll give you a few minutes, sir. Anyone else have a question?
Yeah, I have my question now.
Okay, Councilman Hansen.
So currently, we spend $576,000 on dispatch, City of Palmer. If you subtract the $868,000 that the borough reimburses us for the dispatch. So dispatch is projected to go from $576,000, which we pay now, to $936,922. And I know that that's a little bit heavy because of the first 3 months of the year, but that's still an increase. Of 62.5%. That's sustainable for the City of Palmer?
So when I looked at this, the first thing I saw the same numbers. We got $863,000 a year from the borough, and it's to provide, really, it's to provide the personnel costs. Depending on how you slice the 863, it's either for half the dispatchers and half the operations, or it's for all the dispatchers and we pick up all the operations. So when that goes away, we're picking up all the operational expense for the buildings, or we're picking up the six additional dispatchers. So there was some supplement from the borough to run our operations, is basically what I'm saying. It was not a 50-50 split, 50% Palmer, 50% the borough. So there is an increase. It's not an increased cost. The costs aren't going up, but the revenue coming in was supplementing to some degree our operation.
Go ahead, Councilman Hansen.
Well, we can just say it this way.
Yeah.
The cost to provide that service to the residents of the City of Palmer is going up because it's not being subsidized by the borough anymore.
Correct.
Okay. So it's going up $400,000. to be able to provide
correct.
That same
the city,
service.
The city, in order to provide the same service, the cost of the city will be about $400,000, $450,000, yes.
Additionally?
Yes.
Okay. So when do we make the decision on what way we're going? I mean, have we talked to Wustill at all about what the cost of providing dispatch to us? Or are we just going to say, you know, we have an extra $500,000 laying around and we're just willing to spend it on dispatch?
We haven't had the discussion on what's going to cost because they haven't assumed the role yet. That is, again, I look at 2017 being a transition year to sort out what we can afford. If this truly is sustainable, I think if it's a service we won't provide, then I think we can afford it. But there may be other less expensive versions to do this, but there's just no one to turn to on what the cost may be at this point. It's a discussion that can be had if we decide that we don't want to provide dispatch at this cost. It is an option to contract out with either Wasilla or APD if they're willing, any other service that's already provided, if they continue to provide that service and are willing to provide it to us at a cost, that is an option in the future.
Go ahead. You have further questions?
Yeah, I have.
Go ahead, Councilman Hanson.
Okay, so we're set on six. Six is the magic number.
Six is the number we believe we can provide dispatch safely to the city of Palmer.
Long term, how are we going to get there with the dispatch? It's a $500,000 increase, roughly, $400,000 to $500,000 increase to do dispatch to Palmer residents.
In this case, because we've had an increase in revenue, that is, and if the revenue continues to stay where it is, this cost doesn't go up $500,000 every year. It's a one time cost this year. And again, discussion of cost, it's a shortage of revenue, source of revenue. So the revenue source that generally provided funds for this was the borough. Sales tax provides revenue to the general fund that we distribute around. So instead of increasing our unassigned reserve in this case, it's going towards dispatch because we pool all our revenues and we can afford it. Had we not had this contract pulled, then we would have had a higher unassigned fund balance at the end of this session.
Your Honor.
Yes, go ahead.
Okay, so what's going to happen with equipment? I mean, obviously the borough participated in the equipment at some level. What's going to happen with what's going to happen with the equipment portion?
The current equipment that's in there, the borough is considering obsolete. And it will leave it in place. So then we'll either have to update it or maintain it to its current state, and that's what we're looking at right now as far as being able to not upgrade but maintain what we have. So that's figured into this budget.
Go ahead.
Okay.
Sure, continue.
So at some point it's going to have to be fixed, replaced. What do we have a cost for that?
It doesn't have to be replaced until it becomes dysfunctional, and it's not dysfunctional for our needs. So that's, again, part of the transition. If we want to position ourselves with the most up-to-date equipment, that will be a capital cost. And I'm not sure that we want to pursue that this year, maybe not next year, but the equipment that we currently have, minus radios, is satisfactory for our needs. And any upgrades just for our purpose would be less than, I think, $30,000 if we decide to upgrade so we can connect to everybody. And that's what's been the problem with the borough. They can't connect to other systems with the current system. Plus, the network that feeds our building doesn't play well with others. So there are some significant costs that are associated with upgrading so that we have the same level of equipment to dispatch all of the borough. So if we're going to maintain a system that's going to be competitive, if we want to be competitive, then it's going to require some significant investment in our systems. To dispatch our equipment, then I don't think there's significant investment we need to make in the short term.
Go ahead.
Why would we need to be competitive? I mean, if we're going to we're going to say to ourselves, we're going to dispatch our activities and our stuff. Why do we have to have a belief that we have to have equipment that is competitive with Wasilla, who's going to be subsidized by the borough? I mean, we're just going to be our own standalone outfit, right?
Yes.
Good.
The transition this year would be to make sure that we can support our services. And philosophically, if we decide we want to be a service provider for other organizations, then that would be the discussion on any capital, significant capital improvements.
Go ahead. Oh, yes. Sorry. Councilman Carrington?
You mentioned the difficulties with our system communicating with other systems. Is that going to be a reverse effect if Wasilla is handing 911 and they have to transfer a call to us? Is there going to be a difficulty there?
Not any more than it is now. And the drop call piece is in discussions between in a handover. But for as many comes that happen between us, perceived problems between us and that's upgraded, having the ability to pull Aspen data into the CAD system. So there are benefits to have.
Follow up? Go.
Yeah.
Okay.
You going to say something?
Question or?
I don't know if it's a question. Your plant, it's health insurance, and it's PERS. It's one of those big. So, I really think that we have to be open-minded, increasing costs by, you know.
$400,000.
Yeah. We have to be creative somehow, some way. And I think you need to bring it up. Take home cars. I know there's a cost savings. Revenues aren't going to always maintain. So we got to get creative.
Did Chief have a
Madam Mayor, if you allow Chief to.
The different options regarding the dispatch center over the last year and a half. Actually, the last time machine, when Palmer initially won the contract in 2014 and the borough pulled it, the one that's set to expire at the end of this year, it's extremely unlikely. Point of, I would say it's just not going to happen. They can't. They will not have another. Which is a significant public safety problem, mm-hmm. or continuing on some of 622 versus 57622 is a difference of 360,000, partially for 9 dispatchers over the first quarter of the year rather than 6. So that's going to come down a significant. When you look at dispatch going to another city, like take Wasilla, for example, or even Anchorage, when we look at an example of, say, the Alaska State Troopers, 100,000 to about 1.5 million. So there were significant cost increases that you can either come up with the extra money or you can go find dispatch somewhere else. And I'm not sure we want to dispatch altogether. We also face the possibility of a PERS liability study, which is several hundred thousand dollars study that benefits us not at all. And we've looked into the numbers on that. We've contacted. There are some advantages to keeping our own dispatch center. Level of service is one that we're with the service that they get from us than they might be from a competitive center. And we have to make that better and fix it. If we're contracted with another organization, we have no control over that whatsoever. Fiscally, this is difficult. But on the other hand, this is a major.
What the cost that the borough is paying the city of Wasilla, so it doesn't exist yet.
Informally, the proposal was $1.8 million, the trooper. So basically, it's the same. It would have been the same price for us.
All right. Further question? Budgets? Oh, I'm sorry.
Actually, Madam Mayor, this comment is actually one of the things that I was talking with the fire chief earlier in the week, meaning the fire service areas. City of Palmer has their own. Wasilla doesn't have their own fire department, so they're part of a. Wasilla is handling the fire service areas and Palmer itself. So I'm wondering if there's going to be some communication, an event that's happening inside Palmer, and we have to redirect them into.
Answer for Councilman Best.
There shouldn't be same boundaries as part of the transition. Those boundaries have to be described if we're going to within this geographical area. You're going to dispatch. You're going to try now with Central Matsu. We take the call and we dispatch. Or the Wasilla police. So it wouldn't be any different. It'd just be reversed. But that boundary would have to be a service area. then that's the boundary that's on the dispatcher's console. How that technically works, I guess, or transfer to. The change would be borough, and we transfer calls to Wasilla and the troopers. We dispatch, they would transfer calls just like we transfer for troopers. They would transfer, that would be a lot easier as far as transfer calls as opposed to us, because trooper land is, that shouldn't be an issue. That's just, it's just drawing the boundary, the technical boundary for dispatcher.
Okay. Okay.
Can you go to page 16? Dispatch costs or fire service costs on page 15. Fire service contract, right? That's a transfer from the borough, a fire service area.
That's our contract with the borough. That's basically 50% of our fire department.
So you can just show me where you go down here and you have fire service. That's for the service. And then...
Currently, that's for the fire department. Dispatch.
Okay, so how is the fire service?
That would be an additional to the contract. So it would be an additional negotiated piece, either Palmer Fire Service Area, or it would be a separate contract for dispatch.
Are you going to
put that on paper? But the concept of them providing additional funds, our general number was $300,000 would get us three additional dispatchers. In addition to this, this does not account any dispatching for fire at this point.
Somehow from the borough towards
dispatch.
Dispatch.
The $90,000 for
that will not go away.
That could potentially go away next year, but as long as we're doing call, technically we believe that will continue.
Fire service participate in the increased costs. I mean, if they went to Wasilla, they would have
may or may not have increased costs, depending on how the borough sorts out funds.
The residents of the borough is going to go up by $1 million, no matter how you slice it.
Yes.
And dispatches naturally, I mean, the fees have...
They don't have a separate line for dispatch. So if the borough is looking from, they require them to pay for dispatch. But my understanding is that is not done now. That may give them another source. They're trying to figure out how separate and providing a direct service to them. So that's the dedicated folks in our dispatch center for a fee. The borough, not from the fire service areas.
View, I mean, it seems to me that the borough just kind of writes us contracts and we sign them and say, we can sign an extension for dispatch services for a period of time on staff, because it's on them. I mean, the only reason why we're retaining them is because in that. But back to this, the cost to go up. Somehow we need to get that out of the fire services, because you're getting it out of the other fire service areas.
Okay. I have a couple. On page 45, do we know yet on the five, do we know that the five full-time people we have listed, do we have an idea?
At that point in time, there would be dispatcher folks stay. The top six would be the most senior. They would be dispatcher too.
Okay.
Different combinations could happen. The most senior may
sure.
decide to retire.
Right.
I mean, APD is hiring. It pays a little more. So what that looks like, most expensive dispatcher one, and then
they
move
would.
Up.
Okay. And can you tell me why the on-call is a dispatcher?
A new person on-call. So our on-call dispatcher.
They have to be trained before they can function on call and have some time under their belt that they might not succeed in, just so they can work in an on-call capacity. The people we bring back for on.
Okay. Okay. Is there any other questions or comments? Any objections to us just recessing and then taking up fire next? If not, then we will do that. We will. Do we have any objections? I hear no objections. We're out of the committee on the whole, and we'll reconvene at our regular session at 7 o'clock. This is a regular meeting of the Palmer City Council, Tuesday, October 25th. It is 7 o'clock. I'll call the meeting to order. Okay.
If we can pause for just one moment.
We'll need to pause. We're waiting for the audio to catch up with us.
All right, thank you.
Okay, audio is caught up with us. Madam Clerk, would you read the roll, please?
Yes, Madam Mayor, thank you. Councilmember Pete LaFrance.
Here.
Councilmember Brad Hansen. Councilmember David Fuller.
Here.
Councilmember Steve Carrington.
Here.
Councilmember Richard Best.
Here.
Deputy Mayor Linda Combs.
Here.
Mayor Edna DeVries.
Here.
All members present.
Thank you. We have a quorum. If you all rise, please. And could I have the scouts that are with us lead us in the pledge? The flag is over here. So if you'll lead us in the pledge. Thank you, gentlemen.
Woo! Budget amendment.
We have before us the approval of the agenda, including the consent agenda and the minutes of October 10th. What is the council's desire?
Madam Mayor, I move that the council approve the consent agenda and the minutes of the previous meeting from October 10th, 2016, special meeting.
That's been second. Moved by Councilman Combs and Carrington seconds. Mm-hmm. Is there any objections from the council? If not, then the motion is approved. Communications and appearances request. We do not have anybody listed. Have we had any requests, Madam Clerk?
We have not, Madam Mayor. Thank you.
Thank you. We'll now move to reports. City Manager. You want me to give you a copy of your report?
Okay, so tonight's report was not in your packet. It should have been left on the table. Since Councilmember DeVries is no longer a council member and a mayor, I felt I could try and see if I could delay it one time and you should catch it.
I got a big gavel now, though.
I was busy with the budget and fell behind on this one, so I should get back in the rhythm. So this month, or this session is the update analysis from last month's data. So starting with the police department, calls are down from August by nearly 200. And that's primarily due to the state fair at the end of August with a lot of the traffic and DUI stuff that we're doing there. So we're back down to our normal trend of about 30%, 39%, still a little higher than normal for traffic, 20% for our checks, and 27% for citizens assistance, and then 14% other. Normally we're running about 30, and we're getting back down to that again. Special recognition, we had two officers who were recognized for exemplary performance during an event this past couple of weeks with an armed suicidal subject. Their quick and compassionate actions diffused the situation and allowed the distressed subject to receive needed help. So I just wanted to point that out for the council's attention. They were recognized by the chief with a letter for their file. Fire department. As we all know, October, I won't be talking about October numbers, but we will see a spike next month in our October numbers. They were up September to August, but they were down from last year when we look at September as a whole. But dry conditions moving into from September into October, we'll see the numbers still kind of rise. Nothing unusual other than the dry conditions. Fires were up from August, rescue up a little bit. The fair may have had a little bit to do with the numbers the previous month, with folks being at the fairgrounds instead of out and about. But overall, calls were up in September, and we expect they'll be up again in October. We look at the library numbers, total patrons up slightly. Again, the borough continues to ride around the 77% number of our users and, of course, new users. The patronage at the library itself overall for the different counts was down a little bit, and primarily due to the school starting and not seeing as many school programs or after school programs, but nothing unusual. Again, carrying on from last month. Building compliance, our compliance letters are up a little bit from August. Cleanup letters were about the same, and then our permit follow-ups were down a little bit. Our building valuation continues to be on track. You can see some of the numbers there. The significant one, the Church on the Rock, with their construction started out on the ground behind, just north of the town. I want to spend a little bit of time about the golf course. George is out, and it'll be out even for the budget part. But you can see the numbers from September to August down slightly. But I did a quick dirty on back of envelope for May to September. We had a couple of outline months, April and October, that aren't accounted for. But our total operational days were about 153 days. Total number of rounds for May to September, May 1st to the end of September, were 11,817 rounds. And our highest month was July. When we look at green fees, total for that period was $260,000, and our highest month was May. And it's primarily due to season passes, so our next highest month was June. When you look at cart rentals, July was our highest month, but overall we look at about $95,000 for that same period. Driving range, $25,000 for that period, with June being the highest month. Merchandise sales, over $123,000, August being our biggest month. And then our snack bar and beer and wine, $60,000 and $40,000 respectively, in July being the high month. So overall, July was our best month, and that's kind of to be expected. But sales, August was our biggest month for merchandise sales. So overall, for that period of May to September, is $615,938 in revenue that was collected. So that's a quick roll-up of the golf course on how we saw it this summer. The golf course is closed now for the season. The shop will be open periodically, but the course itself is covered in snow, and golf is pretty much done. No other special announcements or additional announcements that I have for tonight. So, pending any questions, that's all I've got.
Any questions regarding the city manager's report, or any questions in general that any of the council has for him? Okay. Thank you, sir. Madam Clerk, your report, please.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Today we had the attorney RFP bid opening at 2:00. We did receive three bids, and I just wanted to report to council the names of the bids. All other information is mine. The three that had submitted bids were Levesque Law Group, LLC. I'm more than happy to be corrected if I'm saying that name wrong.
That's right.
Thank you. Jermaine Dunnigan and Owens, PC, and Law Offices of Sean Parnell. At this time, we are doing the group, as you guys had approved in the RFP proposed timeline. Initial interview or review of these are being done by myself, the city manager, and Jack Snodgrass. We will be meeting on Monday to go over our numbers and the evaluation, and then expected to come back to council on November 8th with the names that are recommended in our score sheets. I would like to get confirmation from the council that holding a special meeting on November 21st to do interviews would work, because I would like to send an email or a letter to the proposers, giving them a tentative timeline so that they can get their schedules. I have mentioned and asked the mayor if this would work. She said that it would work for her, but to get the council's nods and yeses. So at this time, it's November 21st, Monday. It would be the Monday after our AML conference, and we will be holding a special meeting on Tuesday the 22nd at 6:00 as well. But does Monday the 21st, to hold a special meeting, 6:00, to do interviews, work for the council?
Thumb. Couple thumbs up down there. Few head shaking over here.
Fantastic. I will start getting the schedule firmed up. The plan would be interviews for the 21st, sticking to the schedule as discussed at our October or the September meeting. We will have acceptance and approval on the 29th of November if the schedule goes as planned, and we'll move forward. The Superior Court appeal that was filed, you guys are aware of that. That is for the Mountain Rose Estates. File appeared an appeal to Superior Court. The process has begun on that. The first notice to the court has been provided of contact information, and the clerk's office will be working with the attorney to get the record to the Superior Court. So we have 40 days to do that, which is actually going to be during AML conference. So we'll have to get that out on the 10th of November. I will be attending public information officer training Thursday and Friday all day. So I will be out of the office. And last but not least is, as we're having so many special meetings, we do provide some food for the council. I need suggestions. I don't want to feed you guys the same food every week. So if you have any suggestions, please let me know. We're also, the mayor's office has been set up, and I won't take any much of the thunder from that one. But there are, there's hot water outside. We'll have the Keurig in there that also for council, if you want variety in drink, that will be made available to you as well. So we're just trying to get some things flowing here, and let us know what you guys want. We want to make sure that you're eating what you like.
Okay. Any questions or comments from the council to the clerk? Okay. Either you're making good food choices or they're all going to fast, one of the two. Right. No, I don't think they're going to fast. So.
Thank you, Madam Mayor.
In your agenda was my mayor's memo, which I plan on having in there all of the time. My meeting with the governor's office had been postponed. Sarah got caught up in another meeting and wasn't able to make it, and she's gone for a couple weeks, so I will meet up with her when she gets back. The boards and commission appointments are in your packet tonight for your approval. We started talking to some of the Matt Maid property owners, and I won't go through all of the things that are listed here. You can see the manager and I did attend the mayor's managers meeting on October 20th. That was my first one, of course. And we talked just about a number of things that's going on in the borough and some of the challenges. Spent, I would say, probably about a third of the time talking about Title IV, the liquor licenses, and whether maybe there's going to be a move to the ABC board to change the number of residents requested, or maybe extending instead of just being the city's boundaries, that maybe they will extend 2 miles out or something in order to count the population to determine the number of liquor license that you are allowed to have. And so that's pretty much was there. And I think the rest of the items you can pretty well see. I have signed a proclamation for Red Ribbon Week. If you don't know what that is drug-free week. We had a request from Job Corps to do a proclamation, and so we have done that. We have also had a request for a proclamation for the Small Business Saturday, which, as you know, is the Saturday after Thanksgiving, and we have done that one. That one is done and ready to go. I have not done the proclamation for the former Mayor Delana Johnson or the P&Z board members, longtime ones, or Senator Bill Stoltz, or if you know of other ones. Did get an email today from the governor's office stating that on November 11th, there is going to be a meeting on the repurposing of the prison, the Sutton Prison. I passed that to the clerk, and she will be sending that out to all of you. I don't know if she got a chance to. It was late today. Okay, it was late today. It'll be at the Palmer's office building from noon until 5 p.m. on that day, and I believe that day is a Wednesday. And the people from the Department of Corrections are going to be there talking about when they do close the prison, how they plan on repurposing those properties. Yes, Councilman Combs.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. November the 11th?
November the 9th.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Did I misspeak?
The 11th, and, okay. And of course, my immediately
yes.
led on the fact that that's Veterans Day. And,
right.
And
right.
that, I would presume, is on your upcoming events as well.
Right, yes. Yeah, it's my understanding that the City of Palmer purchases a small wreath, and then that the mayor presents that wreath and says a few words, and so I plan on being there. I think you had sent that out also to all the council people.
Yes.
Yeah, so I think you probably maybe are getting a lot of things in your inbox of activities that's going on and invitations. I guess if you prefer not to get them, let the clerk know. They can't come from me because then the attorney would not be smiling at me like he is. So I put in some extra duties, I think, onto the clerk. But anyway, so yeah, you don't want them to fill your inbox, then just let the clerk know. But yes, go ahead, Councilman Combs.
Yeah, thank you. You know, the way I always remember this, and maybe our guest will find this interesting, having been brought up as part of a military family, it's easy for me to remember Veterans Day because it is, of course, the 11th day of the month, but mm-hmm. it's the 11th minute of the 11th hour of the 11th day of the 11th month is when all Veterans Day activities officially are proclaimed. And that makes it real easy to remember. Very important day. So I traditionally do meet my father at the wall mm-hmm. for the ceremony for that. And I think it's real important. So I'll see you there that day.
Okay. I'll see you there. Any other council or comments regarding my report? Anything you didn't understand or places where you think I should be that I haven't been or places I did go that I should have stayed home? Okay. We have from these, I almost called you the borough attorney. We have a report from the city attorney. For those of you who don't
Not
know,
for a while.
Those are lots of years ago when I was mayor and he was the borough attorney. Almost said it again.
Thank you, Madam Mayor.
You're welcome.
A brief report tonight on the question of drug paraphernalia. And I've spoken about this with Council Member Best, who has some concerns about this issue, and performed some research related to it. And you may all know that we do have a drug paraphernalia ordinance in our code. That's at our code at 9.95050, and that outlines drug paraphernalia. The question that came up when we were discussing this issue was whether the marijuana initiative had preempted the ability of a home rule local government from regulating marijuana paraphernalia. And I think a fair read of the provision in the initiative is that, yes, it does. And that's a provision in section 1738060. And it talks about marijuana accessories being authorized and specifically mentions political subdivisions of the state of Alaska. And as you all know, a municipality is a political subdivision of the state of Alaska. And we're not a constitutionally formed entity. We're a statutory entity that emanates from the power of the state. And in that initiative, which is coming on its 2 years, it talks about the marijuana accessories authorized. So the legal question to address is whether or not that provision would preempt a home rule local government from regulating these activities. And again, I think a fair read of that provision is that there is a legal argument that it could, although preemption in Alaska is related to issues where there's a specific statutory prohibition, which there is here, or it's a matter of exclusive state control and activity. Otherwise, municipalities have great leeway under liberal construction of municipal powers to regulate. So it could be that there is some legislative advocacy that could take place with respect to the paraphernalia issue. And that's something that's, of course, up to the council and Council Member Best to do. And I'm happy to help as necessary. So That's basically my report, Madam Mayor and Council.
Okay. Any Council have questions or follow-up? Uh-huh. Go ahead,
I'm sorry, one additional point. There is an Alaska Supreme Court case, a U.S. Supreme Court case that is a 1982 case, and it says that there's not a First Amendment issue to regulate drug paraphernalia so long as it's narrowly tailored and it's associated with substance abuse use, so it doesn't implicate the First Amendment. And a quick comparison of the ordinance that was in the U.S. Supreme Court case and our ordinance, I think our ordinance sort of gets to that idea to some degree. So although I don't think it's being enforced now because of the initiative, mm-hmm. I think it's something to examine if that's what the council would like to do.
Okay. Direction or comments from the council? The next item on our agenda is audience participation. I'll open audience participation. Anybody that would like to come forth and address the council, please do so. Here you go, sir.
My name is James Brewster.
Would you at least turn on the mic? You don't need it. You can stand, but turn the mic on, please. Thank you.
All right. Does that work better?
Yeah, it does. Thank you, sir.
We are here for communication, so I guess this is an important part. My name is James Brewster. I'm here with Boy Scout Troop today. I'd like them each to come up and give a quick introduction of themselves.
Thank you. Yes. Okay, yeah, right.
Mm-hmm. I'm Callum Culver. I'm first class in Troop 367.
Thank you.
Hello, my name is Adam Kinning, and I am Senior Patrol Leader of Troop 367.
Thank you.
My name is James Brewster, Jr. I am Assistant Senior Patrol Leader.
Okay, thank you.
I am Joseph Gehring. I am a Patrol Leader of the Falcons.
Thank you.
I'm Joseph Montalbano, and I am a Patrol Leader of Troop 367 and the Knights.
Thank you.
I am Gage Brewster, and I am a scout.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
Yes, thank you for coming. Is there anyone else in the audience that would like to address the council? Okay. Seeing nobody, we will close council audience participation. We will now continue on with our agenda on page 2. We will now have a public hearing on Ordinance 16-017, amending Palmer Municipal Code, Chapter 1757, AG Agricultural District, to add Section 17.57.015, definitions to include Small Agricultural Event Center, and amending Section 17.57.040, conditional uses to delete commercial recreational facilities and add Small Agricultural Event Center as a separate listed conditional use in the Ag District to be listed as Section 17-57-040. The public hearing for this ordinance, 16-017, is now open. Anyone that would like to address this ordinance, if they would come forth, please. Okay, seeing and hearing none, the public hearing is now closed. Madam Clerk, do we have a motion on the floor to?
Not for this.
We do not. Okay. Council, what is your desires regarding Ordinance 16-017?
Move for its adoption.
Okay, Councilman Hansen moves.
Second.
Councilman Fuller seconds. Discussion from the council regarding the ordinance. You recommend changes, additions, deletions, or anything? Is there any objections to the ordinance being adopted from the council? Okay, so the ordinance number 16-017 has been adopted by the City of Palmer City Council. The next public hearing is resolution number 16-026, A resolution of the Palmer City Council appropriating funding in the amount of $192,162, together with interest accruing from July 22nd, 2016, to comply with the consent decree. This public hearing is now open on Resolution-026. Is there anyone in the audience that would like to come forth and address this resolution? Seeing and hearing nobody, does the council have any objections to me closing the public hearing? Okay, if not, the public hearing is now closed. Madam Clerk, do we have a motion on the floor for this resolution?
We do not, Madam Mayor.
Okay, what's the council's wishes regarding this? Councilman Combs.
Thank you. Madam Mayor, I move that this council approve resolution number 16-026.
Okay, is there a second?
Second.
Okay, Councilman Carrington seconds. Discussion from the council on the motion to adopt the resolution 16-026. Seeing and hearing none, is there any objections to the motion being adopted? Okay, so resolution 16-026 has been adopted by the Palmer City Council. The next item on our agenda is action memorandums. And we have the first one is action memorandum number 16-065, authorizing the city manager to negotiate and execute a contract with a selected consulting engineering firm for the engineering services for the rehabilitation and repaving of runway 16/34, not to exceed $275,000 from the request for proposal RFP number 16-01PAQ. What is the council's desire on this action memorandum? Okay, it's been moved. Is there a second? Okay, moved by Councilman Best, seconded by Councilman Combs to approve action memorandum. Does anyone, any of the council desire a report from the staff, or are you ready? You want to, Councilman Hansen, you want a report? Okay, we can have a report then from the city manager.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. So the first piece that I'd like to point out is it's in the title, it says the selected consulting engineering firm. We put this together in September. It was when the RFP was in draft and then being submitted for publication. So we didn't have the name of the firm. As we've gone through the process, attached is the RFP review and the overall summary that identified the rankings amongst the four engineering firms. Based on that ranking, HDL was engineering consultants were the top scoring firm. So that started the process, and that was not based on fee. That was based on their timeline, experience, qualifications of personnel, their management plan, and their DBE, which is the Disabled Business Enterprise. I believe that stands for. It's for small and disadvantaged firms participating in the contract piece. So they were evaluated on that. The score sheet shows that HDL was the top. Then Stantec, followed by Dow, then R&M. Once that was done, the process with the FAA for this project is to have an independent firm provide a fee estimate. And then when you take that and negotiate with the lead firm or the first selected firm, and if they're within 10%, then they'll accept that fee proposal. If it's not within 10% or can't be negotiated within 10%, then we move on to the next one. Over the course of the last 2 weeks, the independent firm came in with an estimate. We compared that to HDL's fee estimate, and they were actually within 10%, but actually below the final 10% estimated fee. So at this point, the recommendation is that HDL be the firm that's selected for the project. And the estimate was, for phase one, $242,000. It may not be exact. I don't have the actual estimate here, but phase one was within $242, so it is within the not-to-exceed price. However, we still require FAA approval of our process. They have that information, so we won't finish negotiating the contract until the FAA has approved the process, comparing the independent fee with the proposed fee, and then once they give us that thumbs up, then we'll finalize negotiations and execute a contract. So that's where we stand at this point with this RFP, and it's for the engineering service $1,000 grant from the state that we received. There's still $380,000
of it. To make a modification to the action memorandum to indicate the actual.
We should put the selected firm in here. If for some reason the FAA can bring it to the council again a second time, but I anticipate that name there. I wouldn't necessarily recommend changing the dollar amount because I don't have that.
Yes, Councilman Best.
I move that we make an amendment, and we will, on the first line of summit, and add HDL, Hattenberg, Dilley & Linnell, LLC.
Been moved by Councilman Best and seconded by Councilman Combs.
I apologize.
Okay.
HDL Engineering Consulting.
Okay. Thus selected to HDL Consultants. That agreeable to the second. Okay. Is there any objections to the amendment to the main motion? If not, then the amendment passes. We are now back to the main motion. A discussion on the main motion for action memorandum number 16-065. Is there any objections to the adoption of action memorandum number 16-065 as amended? Seeing and hearing none, then action memorandum number 16-065 as amended passes. Okay. The next items, there are several of them, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 action memorandums that have to do with boards and commissions. The council can take them individually or do one motion, whatever the council's wishes are. Councilman Hansen.
Your Honor, I'd like to combine all five of these.
Okay.
For their appointment.
Okay. So there's been moved to accept action memorandum number 16-75, 16-76, 16-77, 16-78. Is there a second to that motion?
Second.
Councilman Fuller seconds.
Sorry.
Is there discussion or questions? Yes, Councilman LaFrance.
I had a question on 16077.
Okay.
Which is on page 68 is the summary statement that I'm looking at.
Uh-huh.
I see we had three applicants, two of which were city residents.
Right.
Two of which had their applications put in on time, but neither of those two were the ones selected. So I was just wondering if you could go into that, why that came out as it came out.
Okay. Some things happen when your husband gets elected to the city council. So that takes care of one of the applicants. There's prices to be paid, as you know, for public service. I'm sure you're familiar with that. And yes, Julie's application was submitted on time. When I looked at the Parks and Rec board, the code says that the majority shall live inside the city of Palmer. And so of the seven board members, four of them already lived inside the city of Palmer. The ones that lived outside, one lived in Lazy Mountain, and one lives up the Palmer Fishhook. And so I looked and I thought, well, there's nobody from the Springer system or from the southern part outside the city of Palmer. And then Shannon submitted her application, and she lives in that area. So that's the reason then I selected her.
Mm-hmm. As far as the applicant timeline goes, I noticed in the paragraph above it says three applications were received with none received prior to the final deadline, Monday, September 26th. But then below it says that the date the application was received is on September 22nd for Julie Burbrick. And I'm just, it just strikes me as odd that we had someone who was a city resident who applied on time but wasn't the one selected. It was almost like a moving target for the date of application.
I can address that, Madam Mayor.
Okay, sure.
So that's a typo on my part. My bad. So what happened is, as you can see, these are new template forms that we're using for the appointment process. And so that line, I typed up one, went through and just changed some of the information. So I do apologize. The three applications were received with two prior to final deadline of 4:30, Monday, September 26th, being received. It should have said two were received on time and one was received after the deadline. So this is one of those that where I went through and I just changed the name and I didn't proof that paragraph very well. So I apologize for that. I can address that paragraph as to why that was wrong.
Okay. Further question, Councilman LaFrance?
So I guess if you could address that, Madam Mayor, I would appreciate it just for future appointments. Is this a hard timeline or is it a soft timeline? How is it just kind of a meaningless deadline for these applications then?
I think this is one of the first times, you know, when, say what, 3 months ago when we started talking about the fact that the council wanted to know more about, you know, who put in and all of that stuff. And then we set that that timeline. And that timeline was set, you know, trying to get people to, and as you'll notice, like I think in parks or in planning and zoning, only we had three appointments, but there was only one person that made it by the timeline. And so I guess in this situation, we did make it more of a floating timeline than maybe what the council intended. I do not know. Okay. Further questions?
It leaves a bad taste in my mouth, I guess, to see this. And this is no, I'm not speaking about the individual qualifications of the appointee in mm-hmm. any way. I'm not familiar with her. I'm sure she's a delightful person. Mm-hmm. But I worry about, and I'm thankful that you're so transparent with this process. Truly, I am. Mm-hmm. But I just worry that individuals who would like to serve on boards might see this and be concerned about the selection process. That's all.
Sure. I appreciate those comments. Councilman Best.
Well, I'm actually going to agree with a council member to my left here. And he's usually to the left of me. You know, this is something I kind of harped on at the last appointment that we had. Mm-hmm. We either have it open for a period of time that we're advertising to, and we're open and transparent about that. And I agree with the comment that this information that we're getting on the backside is outstanding. This is exactly what we've been wanting to see, is who all has submitted applications to it. Mm-hmm. And their qualifications. Mm-hmm. This is great. This is wonderful. So I actually would, and remember, we are in the discussion of having all of them looped into one. Mm-hmm. I would actually like to see this pulled out of that and addressed separately out of that grouping. Okay. So that would be my motion.
Okay. Is there a second to that motion?
I'll second that.
Okay. And I think if you are pulling that one for the dates of applications, you probably should look at all of them, because if it's strictly on the date, I think almost all of them have, let's see, they're all, every one of the boards and commissions, the appointments have been passed that date of September 26th. So, some of them were because we didn't have anybody. But anyway, go ahead, Councilman Best.
If it wouldn't be too much trouble, then would we be able to consider today's date the closing of them and bring these up to us again, and any application that we had received within that period of time go into the review process. And I apologize about this because it is something that I have been such a stickler on, and hopefully this doesn't put us behind the eight ball on having anything.
Yeah, because the terms all start the 1st of November. So this is our last time to consider these appointments, or otherwise probably none of the boards would be able to meet. I mean, if we pull all of them that don't meet that deadline, then we will not have a quorum on probably any of the boards and commissions.
Well, I have no problem with the people that are being appointed. Mm-hmm. I have a problem with the process.
Okay.
Just because if it is a deadline, then we need to make sure that we are meeting those deadlines, and all applicants being reviewed are subjected to that deadline. It is a deadline. So in my mind, we either call a special session, have it, and we can do that within a quick turnaround to address just this.
No time.
You can have a special session in three days, I believe.
But then aren't you back to the same thing about the fact of opening it up to other people?
Well, it would just be, the date would be today, and anything that you had received beforehand would have been allowed.
Okay, as far as I know, the clerk just passed me a note, and she has a note, but as far as I know, everybody that has submitted one as of the time when the agenda was put together,
mm-hmm.
they are listed here.
Okay.
Okay. But the clerk, did you want to say she just passed me a note?
Mayor, I did want to point out that it is correct. We do have some quorum issues as of November 1st with these appointments. So there is a sense of need to get this done. The applications that were received, all of them were interviewed and considered. I did, however, receive one application for a board after the agenda was put together, the action memorandums were created, and the agenda was published. So we do have one application. I have responded to that applicant to tell them that the appointments were already, you know, on the agenda, and that we would hold that application for further consideration at another time. So the communication was done with that person. But I do want to let you know that there was one application that was received in my office after the agenda was published, the action memorandums put together, and so the name does not appear in the packet at this point.
The other thing I think that should be pointed out is that we continually on our website ask for applications. And I don't think there's anything on there saying, you know, if you apply today that, you know, you're past the time of the deadline. You see what I'm saying? So either we need to change how it is on the website so that people don't submit their applications thinking that they will be considered when they have not met the deadline that we had advertised first. So in one way, to me, we are continuing to advertise, and the September 26th was the first deadline, but now as we're continuing to advertise, the deadline continues to be changed from day to day. So, any other council? Yes, Councilman Combs.
Thank you. I really appreciate how far the process has come in the last few months. It is something that several of us on the council in the last few years have asked for, and I want to thank the city clerk for how much work she's done on it.
Right.
It's not perfect. You know, I have some of the same concerns that you're expressing, Councilmember Best in particular, and yet it's so much better than what we had. And I think it's just part of the growing pains, I guess, of getting out in writing somewhere, you know, and making sure it matches. I think the example of what's on the website is excellent. You know, it gives the impression that there's there's no hard deadline, that there's an ongoing, you know, need, and usually there is, you know. So I have no problem with each one of the individuals. And I do feel like it's a little unfortunate, and I think it behooves each one of us as members of this council to represent to anybody that questions it, to you or out in the public, that it's part of a, you know, a growing pain, if you want to call it that. It's part of a, the process wasn't perfect, but we strove to get it just as close as possible and still get the work of the city done, which is what we have to do. Having served on a commission, there's nothing worse when you meet once a month and then you have to not have a meeting because you don't have a quorum. It's very frustrating. The work gets backed up, etc. So all of the concerns, I think, should be noted and we should work on it harder. But on the other side of that coin, I do think there's been a great deal of work done and I appreciate it.
Councilman Fuller.
Just a question. Going through the applications and whatnot, in the airport advisory, so this will bring it up to 6 versus 7 members?
This should be the full board.
Okay, then I guess my question then is, who are the two city limit, the two individuals living within the city limits then?
Alan Lynn and Joyce Marmartz.
Oh, okay. I was looking. And I guess our web page isn't updated.
Yeah, then. Alan probably hasn't been added yet, and he does live in Mountain Rose. So, yes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Not a problem then.
Yeah. Thank you. Okay, back. We do have an amendment to request that action memorandum number 16-077 be pulled from the main motion. Is there any further discussion on that amendment? Okay. I better not ask if there's any objections. So all those in favor of pulling action memorandum 16-077, say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed say nay.
No.
Nay.
Okay. I think it is, 5 to 2. So that amendment fails. So now we're back to the main motion for action memorandum 1675, 076, 077, 078. Councilman Fuller.
I'm sorry.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay. Yes, Councilman Beth.
Just because I am such a stickler on the process itself, I look forward to being outvoted on this one.
Okay. So I'm not going to be able to say there's no objection, we move forward. Huh? Okay. All righty. So those that are in favor of them, or any more discussion from the City Council? Okay. All those in favor of action memorandum 16-075, 076, 077, and 078 be adopted, please say aye. Aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Nay.
Nay. Okay, so 5-2. Okay, the next item on our agenda is action memorandum number 16-79. And this is an appointment of a member of the City Council to serve as ex officio member on the Board of Economic Development for a term expiring October 31st, 2017. And what I planned on doing on this is just opening it up for nominations or volunteers, just like we did for the deputy mayor and the alternate deputy mayor. So is there volunteers or nominations? Councilman Fuller.
I wanted to volunteer.
Okay. So we have one volunteer. Do we have another or another nomination? Councilman Bass, are you getting, you got an itchy figure there?
I was interested in looking at it, but if Mr. Fuller would like to be on that, I'm perfectly fine with letting him take that seat.
Okay. Is there any other volunteers or nominations? Oh, Councilman Combs.
Thank you. I'd just like to make a comment. I volunteered the last time this came up, 2.5 years ago, and it's been a great pleasure to serve. But I do believe that Councilman Fuller would make an excellent ex officio member on the Board of Economic Development. So I think we ought to let him volunteer.
Okay. I think that's a pretty strong endorsement. Councilman Combs has represented us very well on that board, and we appreciated her reports and insight. Okay, is there any objections then to action memorandum number 16-079 being adopted with the name of Councilman Fuller to serve as the ex officio member on the Board of Economic Development? We don't have a motion. Okay, I need a motion then, I guess, to adopt that.
I'll move that.
Okay, is there a second? Okay, Carrington. Okay, the motion on the floor is to accept or to adopt action memorandum number 16-079, the appointment of Councilman Fuller of the City Council to serve as an ex officio member on the Board of Economic Development for a term expiring October 31st, 2017. Any objections to that motion? Okay. The next item on our agenda is unfinished business. We do not have anything listed. Does anybody have anything? New business, we have nothing listed. Does anybody have anything? Items, record of items placed on the table.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. The one item that was placed on the table tonight was the city manager's report.
Okay. Now we have another opportunity for audience participation. I will open audience participation. Is there anyone in the audience that would like to address the city council? Seeing nobody, we will close audience participation and councilman comments. Councilman Carrington, we'll start with you and just go around the table.
Oh, I'm sorry I missed our first budget meeting, and want to thank everyone for using their microphone, because that means I could hear you on the CD that the clerk made for me. It was interesting to listen as just a spectator. But and thank you, Mayor, for running the meeting so well and smooth.
Thank you. Thank you. Councilman Vance?
I have no comments tonight.
Okay. Thank you. Councilman Vance? Not thank you, you don't have any comments. But you won't get a thank you if you got comments, I guess. Sorry. I know. What I didn't mean. Councilman Vance?
Well, I look forward to seeing folks next month at AML. For those that are new to the council and those who haven't participated in it, AML is it's a great opportunity to reach out to other folks in other communities that are kind of in the same seat as ourselves and hear about some of the issues that they're having and kind of learn from others that have been there or that are also kind of with bright eyes coming in and taking a different perspective on things. So I encourage everybody to participate in AML. And so look forward to seeing folks there.
Okay, Councilman Hanson.
Thank you. Uh-huh. So if you've missed it, you need to drive by the University of Alaska area. That building is now being torn down, you know, where they had their maintenance facility. That's being torn down. So this must be the year of the teardowns.
I guess so.
A lot of rehabilitation in the city of Palmer, but it's get your last look.
Is it the one up by the Arboretum?
Yeah, yes. It's gone.
Wow. Really?
Didn't realize you purchased
that. Yes, they purchased it. You missed
it. Thank you, Councilman Hanson. Councilman Fuller.
Thanks. I really appreciate the city manager addressing the chief's letter of appreciation for the two officers. That's something I think that really needs to be exemplified and we should bring up at the meetings more. Another one is a local citizen, Mr. Kevin Brown, donated food to the fire line this last week. Just kind of throwing it out there, put it out there, and I talked with the chief about it, and he's going to look into it, see if we can't maybe hook him up with something, except I think it may have helped forestry versus our guys, but either way, it's really nice to recognize local business, local citizens stepping up and helping out the public servants like that. Thanks.
Thank you. Councilman Combs.
Small Business Saturday, which was mentioned earlier, which of course is the Saturday following Thanksgiving. I've already had a couple of business folks talk to me about it, and I know that the lady that will be spearheading it has applied for a community grant at my behest, even though she was super busy, and I bugged her until she did it. So at any rate, we've got some businesses that are already talking about it because they're excited about it, and it's a tremendous asset, of course, for us, or the local guys. So go ahead and mark your calendars that that's a great day. However, I noticed today at the senior center over at Matthew Senior Services, they're having a tremendous sale in their gift shop. So, if, you know, a little early Christmas shopping might not hurt, because it's really great prices on some, especially Alaskan items, you know, if you need those. So, and it's that time again, folks. We got 2 weeks. I'm not telling you who to vote for. It just says, your vote matters, and Palmer votes. So let's get the vote out. Early voting started yesterday for the election for November 8th, which, yeah, I know there's a presidential election. But just as importantly, we have local representation that will be representing us in Juneau that are on the ballot. And do your homework and vote. If you don't think you're going to be able to go on November 8th, you can go over to the Matsu Borough Building right now and vote. And or if you're towards Wausau, you can go to the Division of Elections. So let's keep those voting percentages up. That's my campaign. Thank you.
Okay. Okay, with no further business, the meeting stands adjourned.